Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Thanks again to all the people that came out to AWOD's Football Fest and said hello. Got a big listenership there in Richmond. Of course, you can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, and we're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Going to revisit the running backs conversation.
Mm-hmm.
There have been reports that Brian Robinson Jr., B-Rob, is on the trade market and that the Commanders are exploring potential deals for B-Rob, which means unless they add somebody, that you would have a running back room that includes Austin Ekeler, who suffered two concussions last year. It would include Jeremy McNichols, who apparently plays special teams. We're assuming Chris Rodriguez would be part of it. He was a late draft choice a couple seasons ago. He's a guy who's played a little bit, and he's played well when he's been on the field.
I think he averaged something like 5 yards a carry.
He's never had many carries in a game.
Right.
And then it would include their seventh-round draft pick, Crosky Merritt, who goes by the name Bill. Are you comfortable, if you're a Commanders fan, with that running back room going into the season? 1-800-636-1067. You can also text us on our Lido Pizza text line. Lido Pizza is a local favorite since 1955, serving pizzas, subs, jumbo wings, salads. Lido Pizza Square, because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. You can text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. I personally wouldn't. I am a B-Rob. I'm not a Stan.
Yeah.
I don't think he's special.
How could you?
Whenever we've had the conversation, I've never said he's special. But I think he's the best of the bunch, so I wouldn't get rid of him.
Well, what if in every practice, the running back coach, Anthony Lynn and Cliff Kingsbury, and the guys that are watching him every single day, just they go in their meeting rooms and say, Bill's just better than B-Rob all the way around.
Okay,
he's got more pop, he's younger. He's not as injury prone. He doesn't have as much, you know, tread on the tires, the cliche is.
Like, I think that's probably true. He's just not proven yet at this level. That's all.
Yeah. If you told me that, then I would say, okay, and then it makes some sense. But I don't know that to be true.
Here's how they look at
it. I don't know that to be true at all, Cakes.
Here's how they look at it at this point. If you read other articles and other teams that are interested, here's the selling point for Brian Robinson, though. He's been in the league 3 years, all right? He's got almost 3,000 yards combined rushing and receiving. He's got 20 touchdowns rushing and receiving. He's somebody that is a somewhat proven commodity. He's not a star, but he's not a bum either.
He's a solid NFL running back.
Right. He's a lower tier starting running back in the NFL. And if you're needing one, well, he's going to be available.
You mentioned the Raiders earlier. If I'm the Raiders and I have Ashton Jeanty as my penciled-in starter, I'd love B-Rob to be the backup. I think that's a fantastic role for him. I don't know if I really want Brian Robinson Jr. as my starting running back. Would I like to have him in my room if I'm not the Commanders? Possibly. But the Commanders have deemed he's not worthy of being in their running back room.
Again,
he has been surpassed by at least one person in that room, if not several.
I don't think they think he's not worthy. I think that's unfair. I think they think they have a deep room and they can afford to move him and not be a precipitous drop off at all.
Yeah, I feel like they feel like they have B-Rob level replacements in the room that are cheaper options.
Yeah, but I don't think it's fair to say he's not worthy. He's worthy.
Well, they've deemed that he's not going to be worthy to be in the room if they cut him or trade him.
I think when you say worthy, it's kind of it's too demeaning. They just think they have others of similar ilk. Like he's worthy of being in the NFL. He's a proven NFL commodity.
Yeah, but they're deeming he's not Commanders RB room worthy if they move away from him.
I think they can do equal amounts. We're arguing semantics,
right?
But they can get similar production from other guys, and maybe there is the upside factor with Kroski Merrick that really has them.
Here's
excited.
What I do know: they don't love Brian Robinson Jr. I don't even think they really like Brian Robinson Jr. Or else his name wouldn't be out there as far as potentially cut or going to be moved to another team.
Yeah.
Out, you know what they are? They're out of the Brian Robinson Jr. business.
I think they are out on the business. And I said that earlier. And, you know, I can't think of recent examples, but it's just happened a million times where when you start to hear a name floated, you know, a couple days before, you know, cuts or a week before, I mean, it's over. They're going to move on from him. They're going to try to salvage whatever they
this
can.
This is the plane going down, and right before it crashes, and somebody maybe jumps out with a parachute. This is the last course of action for the team.
So here's the question.
Releasing
and we should say props to Ben Standick, who kept saying he didn't see how Brian Robinson was on the final roster here.
Yeah,
he kept
that's
looking
if
at
this
it.
Happens. I'm not.
Look, I think it's happening.
I would say it's probably 60% happening, but I still hold out 40% that he's going to be put, that they don't
you
love their
right.
trade offers
well,
and he stays
right,
here.
You could dunk on me. I think it's 80%.
I brought this up, and Jason was really upset. Bish was upset when I brought up the comparison, but I just looked it up again. Brian Robinson last year, mm-hmm. you know, I keep saying the first half was better, but let's just go with the whole season. He only averaged 4.3 yards per carry.
Yep.
It's definitely not special. I mean, Saquon, Derrick Henry, they're closing in mm-hmm. on 6 yards a carry. Let me see. Bijan Robinson, who's one of the best running backs in the game, he averaged 4.8 yards per carry.
Those guys can rip off 50-yard touchdown runs. That's
right.
Not really in B-Rob's arsenal.
I get it. I understand. He's two notches below, two mm-hmm. tiers below. But Kyren Williams, who got a big contract, all right, he scored 14 touchdowns. He had double the carries of mm-hmm. B-Rob. And he averaged less yards per carry,
right?
4.1 yards per carry. You can be successful with a guy like Brian Robinson. I don't know about these other guys, so I'm not super comfortable. If Cakes is right, and every coach is saying Bill is better, they can't be saying that McNichols and Rodriguez are better, because if they were better, unless they just got better this year,
well,
because they weren't playing over him last year.
Tonight is going to be very telling. If you see Brian Robinson inactive or in a T-shirt on the sidelines, that's just more fuel to the fire.
Or
he's going to get moved.
Or why don't they just play the hell out of him and showcase him?
Because they don't want him getting banged up to a potential team that they're shopping him to.
And you don't need to showcase a guy who's already got 3 years of film?
I would imagine.
Possible.
I would guess that's what Adam Peters and...
Yeah, I don't know. That was the question I wanted to ask. If you're Adam Peters and the guys and you've decided, you know what? This is a roster spot we could free up. We're going to try to get something for Brian. Do you showcase him or do you shut him down?
And I shut him down completely.
So
he's in a gold
chain and sunglasses again?
That's what I would do.
Tony Pollard. What is your perception of Tony Pollard?
I would say a notch above B-Rob in talent. Because he catches more balls out of the backfield.
Okay, but he had less touchdowns than Brian Robinson last year. He did have over 1,000 yards rushing, mm-hmm. but he had 260 carries compared to 187 for B-Rob.
Right.
B-Rob had a better yards per carry than Tony Pollard. I don't love Brian Robinson Jr.
I think you're getting too caught up on the yards per carry. I think you're way obsessed with that. You're like really.
Yeah, but I think he's just pointing
yards
out
per carry is one of the best stats to look at for running backs.
I think he's just he's a proven NFL commodity.
Right.
Cakes doesn't like him. He doesn't have a ton of fantasy value. You know, he's a lower tier NFL running back.
If he had
he is
more
a
carries,
proven running back.
I think there's a perception of Joe Mixon, and you would say Joe Mixon's better than B-Rob. But B-Rob's numbers actually last year per carry, because he didn't have the amount of carries, was better. Joe Mixon gave you 1,000 yards. Okay, but he had 245 carries. B-Rob had 187.
Look, I'm not so much arguing how good or bad Brian Robinson Jr. is. I'm arguing more that this current regime is over Brian Robinson Jr. There's something about him, either his running style, his availability, his, you know, value as a teammate in the locker room. There's something about B-Rob that they are not into.
No, I don't necessarily think that's true.
I think that's part of it.
It might be part of it, but I think it's, wow, we might really have something here with Bill, and these other guys are fairly close
enough.
He's
become expendable.
He's become expendable, but I don't think it's necessarily because he has a negative character trait or, you know, there's some sort of negative about him. It's just that we have these other guys that are somewhat equivalent.
Sure.
And we have this
That's part of the equation.
And, okay. I'm just trying to protect Brian's like reputation. Like you're making it
Why
seem
do
like
you care about his reputation.
I just want to be
so
fair.
Much.
I just want to be fair. I think it fair. There's no indication there's any character flaw or any he's a negative of anything.
But that doesn't mean that there isn't something like that to him. We don't know. I'm not in that locker room. I don't know.
I know, but,
he's just countering what you're saying. He's saying that there may be nothing.
I think it's just they really like the upside in, right. in Kroski Merrick potentially, and these other guys are fairly equivalent, and they can afford to move on. It's not necessarily that B-Rob's got some big negative attached to him, other than he's a lower-tier running back.
And I think they could just be like, all right, we're pretty comfortable with what we have. If he's not here, let's right. explore. And then if they don't get anything
they always say how deep that room is. Like, you might not think it's deep. I don't even know if I think it's particularly deep. But they always say, oh, it's a deep room. It's a deep room.
Don't they say that about the wide receivers, too?
Well,
I don't know.
If Terry's there, it's kind of a deep room.
It's not deep at the top. It's definitely not deep at the top. All right, let's bring out some of these calls. 800-636-1067. I will say, when the Jordan Schultz report came out, that's who I saw. I don't know if others had it. I was surprised.
I will say that I don't think anyone. I don't think anyone has confirmed his report. Like Ben went out on a limb and said,
he's doing roster projections. Yeah.
Yes.
He didn't have
so
any. And he made a point of saying, I don't have any intel.
Yeah. Like he's not confirming it, but I don't think I've ever seen. I haven't seen Keim confirm it. I haven't seen Schefter confirm it. Mm-hmm. It's just Jordan.
Well, what is show? I mean, I think he.
I know he's a very.
What's his reputation?
He's a very good reputation in the league.
Yeah, but so he probably has it from somewhere. Somebody gave it to him.
Pretty
right?
good reputation because he also has that reputation of
That's also true,
almost
yeah.
getting in the coffee house brouhaha with Breer. I can't remember if it was Breer or Rappaport. Right.
Well, he might be a douche, but I mean, is he accurate?
He's well sourced.
Is
yes.
he accurate?
He's well sourced.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Dennis in Reston. Dennis, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Juckies.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. You know, I don't even know what to think about half the stuff coming out from this team the beginning of this year. Why would they think of getting rid of Brian Robinson? He's he's established NFL runner. He's a north-south runner. He's dropped the ball a couple of times, but he's not terrible, okay? Why would they do? The guy's been in the league 3 years. I didn't even know that until you guys just said that a little while ago. And I think it's a stupid. I think it's a stupid idea and a bad thing to do to even think about getting rid of him right now. But you know what? I would say one thing. If Adam Peters has anything to do with this, if he's the one that's trying to push this a little bit, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me because look how bad he botched the Terry thing. And it's botched. So you guys, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. Dennis is grumpy. Dennis is grumpy.
Did he join you guys at Open Road?
Missed out on Dennis.
He missed out. All right, let's go to Jim in Tyson's. Jim, what do you think about the developing B-Rob situation? If you ask me, he gone.
It's looking that way.
Hey, are you? I love your show, guys.
Thanks,
I really,
man.
Really do.
Thank you.
Okay, here's my quick take, which is a little different. This is a referendum on Adam Peters. Adam Peters invested in the offensive line, draft picks, mm-hmm. free agent signings. Basically, I think the way he's looking at it, because if you look also at the receivers, which somebody mentioned, I mean, you got Deebo, but you still don't have a really good number two, and you basically have the same running backs. So my take is, if his plan works, basically, Robinson will get 800 to 900 yards, which I think 4.4 yards per carry. That's my take, which I think would be very respectable. If the offensive line does not improve and he gets injured, you're looking at 500 to 600 yards again, and we're in trouble. But, I mean, the bottom line is we didn't invest in that area. And, you know, that's based upon.
So, hold on.
Strategy.
You're assuming he's going to be here. You think he will not be moved?
Oh, he can't be. I mean, look at the receivers and the. I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, how's your legs doing? Are you ready to mount up some shoulder?
Yeah,
pads?
How would the Commanders survive without Brian Robinson Jr.? I can't believe
exactly.
That we're no, I'm being sarcastic. You're missing my point.
Well, no, but I get it. But I'm just saying, how do you have a team with these running backs? I mean,
I think they. I think the reports are a reflection of how high they are on Bill. I know that's shocking to some people. I think they really have unearthed something. In fact, I listened to a guy say, this is crazy. I don't know the guy from Adam, but he hosts a show, and he says that it was a very deep running back class, mm-hmm. and that they think they may have won the steal of the running back.
They may have unearthed a gem late in the draft that other teams slept on, and they realized they could get him super late.
Let's go to Chris in Brandywine. Chris, you're on with the Jux.
Thank you, Michael. I just wanted to say that those stats that were mentioned earlier kind of are suspect, because he had less carries as we got later into the season because he was not effective. And we can blame
him on the
line.
He was effective on the first half of the year, right?
Well, he's also injured. Yeah, he suffered an ankle injury, I think, mid to late season that definitely hampered him. That was an issue.
But if you got more explosive players in the position on the roster, possibly.
Yeah.
You got guys like Breece Hall possibly available through trade. There's other options. Can't be so tired.
Why do you think Breece Hall? Breece Hall. I could put your side by side stats there. Breece Hall versus Brian Robinson Jr. And Brian Robinson might actually come out favorable. Now Breece Hall probably more potential based on where he was drafted, and he's more of a home run hitter. But Breece Hall hasn't set the NFL world on fire.
And he's coming off a huge injury, too. So he's a risk.
Thanks,
he's a
Chris.
Question mark.
Thanks, Chris. They know
Breece Hall averaged 4.2 yards per carry. I know you hate now that I'm using the yards per carry.
Well, I mean, there's more to it. It's just like he could have had a poor offensive line, too, like B-Rob had.
That's true.
For a lot of his time here in Washington.
B-Rob had more touchdowns than Breece Hall.
I mean, come on. The Jets quarterbacks the last few years, they had no offense. So here's what I think. The Krosky Merritt crowd, the fantasy people who are tantalized by some diamond in the rough, mm-hmm. are getting so carried away. If they can't get receivers, can't get open, they're going to get rid of Brian Robinson and run out there with Eckler, who can't stay healthy, and three guys who have relatively no experience in Bill and Rodriguez and McNichols. That's a recipe for disaster. I don't see it happening. Maybe they get rid of
B-Rob. So you think they're going to keep him?
I think more than likely he's on the team. I just don't think you guys are all drunk off Krosky Merritt. He's might get a couple carries a game.
Totally agree.
I don't know about
that
part.
I think he's going to get more than you
think. I have no idea how many carries he gets, but I do know this, is that coaches know right away. And they obviously think they have something or they have enough. They know right away. Like, they see Krosky Merritt do some drills and running around, they know right away. And maybe the same with Rodriguez, and they go, Rodriguez, same as this guy. Or McNichols, same as this guy.
Until the lights go on, but he's fumbling all over the place, just like he did at Alabama State.
You also hear,
the coaches,
you may be
know.
Right on the athleticism, but you also hear that it's hard to simulate, in particular with running backs and a couple positions, because there's no hitting.
100%. Totally. That's definitely a valid opinion.
800-636-1067 is the number. Coming up next, we will talk to Chris Russell. All about the Commanders preseason game coming up against the Bengals tonight. Don't go anywhere.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get into Luke McCaffrey for a second. And you could lump Ben Sinnott into this conversation too, although I just feel like you see and notice Sinnott more often. He feels to me like a long-term NFL tight end. Whether or not he's a second-round pick in the value he's going to provide, I'm not sure. Whether he's eventually going to be a high-impact receiver, I don't know. You got to earn some of those touches that he has not gotten yet. But you notice him, he shows up in the run game. He did get a target yesterday, no catches. The combination, though, of Ben Sinnott and Luke McCaffrey had zero receptions last night. Danny, this is a preseason game in their second year. As top 100 pick, Sinnott was taken barely outside of the top 50. You're talking about kind of middle-ish second round, and getting him on the field and getting the ball in his hands is still proving immensely difficult. But I don't even want to zero in on him because, again, I think with an opportunity, he might be able to help. Luke McCaffrey's had that opportunity. He's having that opportunity. They have had huge needs at wide receiver early last season. Remember the big catch and run in Cincinnati in week 3 on a fourth down. And his role diminished as the year went on. But I just kept waiting last night. I kept watching him. I'm going, second half, preseason game. These dudes aren't going to make the team. Just go route somebody up. Go make a play. And you heard Nick Akridge of PFF say, that he rewatches the tape and he gets separation. And last year, he actually had a really high grade in, as far as separation goes. I don't know if we're there yet or not, but at some point, I'm a results guy. I'm a process over results guy, but the results have to start mattering. I need catches. And here's what I would say. When you watch Mitchell Tinsley last night for the Bengals, who's a roster hopeful who was here as a practice squad Jag-type player for a couple of years, he goes out and he makes unbelievable plays, and you go, it's like someone performing in the summer league in basketball. Maybe he could be a good player in the NFL. I know he's going up against a backup defensive back. I know that, you know, that space and time isn't the exact same in the regular season, but you're flashing. You're showing that athletic trait, which, by the way, Luke McCaffrey has. His RAS score was unbelievable. I mean, this is a guy that was one of the more athletic players of the position coming out, still raw to the position because he played quarterback. But you fast forward into year two, I'm watching him at practice, and I'm just kind of waiting and I'm waiting. I've seen more excitable traits out of Jalen Lane in a very short time, who was drafted later, in a couple of weeks than we've gotten out of Luke now, and I'm just starting to wonder, when is it going to come?
Yeah, I don't know that it does. I mean, I hope, right? But at this point, that's all we're doing is wish casting, the idea that this guy turns into something. I mean, last time he played 28 snaps, Lane played 27. He was on the field
Where'd
more.
You get the snap counts?
Russell. Chris Russell found him.
No way.
Yeah, I don't know where he found him.
I thought you said George Karmy had him.
Again, this is tremendous. I know this. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything last year. Him and Sinnott. I am lumping Sinnott in there. Like, to me, this is like not quite alert time, but it's a concern time where I'm going, the pathway, especially for McCaffrey in the preseason, is open right now. For Sinnott, I get being delayed by Zach Ertz and the renaissance year he had. Again, I call it a renaissance year. This is a great player, but hadn't been a great player in several seasons. But Ertz was awesome, and John Bates is a mauler in the blocking game, so where do you fit in? Nowhere. This should have been a great showcase for him last night, going against backups, going against whomever. Push somebody off. Be physical. Be awesome. I don't notice him. He doesn't get catches or targets. He does nothing. Now Luke McCaffrey's in that same boat for me with ample opportunity. Last night should have been we should be explaining away how dominant they were against nobodies, so instead of going one target between them.
Here is what I wrestle with on Luke McCaffrey. I argue with myself on this because you can't throw the ball to yourself. All I can do is go out there and get my cardio and run routes and try to get open. And if they throw it to me, I'll catch it. And if they don't, it's just not my play. But if every single play is never your play, that's got to mean something. If we get through a whole season, you don't catch 20 balls. If we get through a whole season and your role diminishes. If we get through now multiple preseason games and it's one screen that's poorly timed because it was thrown behind you inaccurately by Hartman for negative yards, and that's kind of where we're at now through a couple of contests. At some point, that's got to mean something. I don't know when that is, but we're getting there. But here's the argument I have with myself is like this idea at a dependent position that you can't throw the ball to yourself. Quarterbacks are in the business, Danny, of getting completions. Quarterbacks are in the business of moving the chains, of keeping their completion percentage high, of excelling, going out, moving the football. They are trying to determine before every snap a couple of things, including, you know, coverage and where they're going to go with the ball. But I think there is some thought process of who's going to win for me right now. When Jalen Lane's on one side last night and Luke McCaffrey's on the other, Jalen Lane's getting 6 targets. They're throwing him the football. He is, and based on practice being out there, I get why. He's always open. He's always catching passes. If you're just taking note of targets, catches, you know, that kind of thing, you're going to see Lane way more often. And I guess my point is, I don't have an answer to this, but if you're Sam Hartman, do you just already trust Lane more that he's going to win so you're locked in on him? Is Cliff calling plays in a certain way where things are predominantly going in that direction, not Luke's? I don't have all the information. I just know that for a third-round pick in the top 100 in the second year of you playing in August games late last night against dudes that are not going to make the worst defense maybe in the league, I would just love to have gotten one pass thrown to him so I could see what it looked like.
Yeah.
And they have seemingly no urgency to do that.
So my only hope, and this is a fool's hope, is that they've got something so special and they're just saving it for the regular season. I'm not counting on that, by the way. I mean, to me, what we should be doing is going, okay, we all need to calm down. They just dominated a bunch of backups against, as you said, the worst defense that maybe the sport has ever seen. Sinnott should have gone for, you know, 5 for 65, trucked a couple of dudes. McCaffrey should be routing guys up, toe-tapping on the sideline, and letting everybody know that he was wide open. You already said it, but I want to double down. offensive coordinators, quarterbacks. These are not stupid people. This is a league of survival. How will I survive? And right now, it's not going to those guys. You know what I mean? Like, that's very simple. We had these debates.
Isn't last night the whole point? Is at some point you would think Cliff would like look at the play sheet on the sideline and go, "All right, let's see what Luke does." Like, in some ways, you're putting guys in spots to test them. You're trying to figure out what someone is and isn't. How do you get through 50 plays or whatever it is last night? And you said 27 he played.
Yep.
By the way, that's more than I would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get through 27 and at no point do you go?
McCaffrey's 28. Sorry, Lane was 27. Yeah.
So how do I not throw him a bubble? You know, just get the ball in his hands. I'm just surprised they haven't done that, just to see what it looks like. But it tells you it's not a priority for them right now, which is also alarming. Is probably too strong, but discouraging.
Concerning, yeah. I mean, again, the only silver bullet or the only moonshot is they're both so good and so ready to go that they're keeping it a secret for the regular season and watch all the targets they'd up. You want to bet on that? I certainly don't. I mean, to me, these guys are both now afterthoughts in the offense, which is discouraging.
I think that they will clearly both be on the team. I mean, Sinnott is a roster lock, I would imagine. McCaffrey, because he was a third-round pick, there's no reason to believe he's not going to make what is a weak position group. But if this was a late-round pick, what is our conversation right now? I always try to kind of have that mindset, too.
Or if they weren't drafted by this regime, what would the conversation be?
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense,
like,
too.
If they were new this year and these guys were holdovers from last year.
I just wonder with him. I'm not out. You know, completely, I love the kid. He comes on the show. He's a lot of fun. I genuinely enjoy my conversations with him. In fact, I've had him on my altcast for the Capitals, hanging out on the couch, you know, watching Caps games. He couldn't be a cooler dude. Yeah. Really, really nice guy.
Fan of his, for sure.
I also wonder, I know the RAS scores were amazing and some of that athletic trait stuff was great, but when you watch him, what's his calling card? So think about it as if it's a baseball player, and I'm talking about tools, where a guy's got a hit tool that's a 70 or a power grade that's a 65, or maybe his arm strength is a, you know, plus, or he's got elite speed or something. With Luke McCaffrey, I think he's probably an oversized slot, but I don't think of him as, he's not Cole Beasley, like twitching people up.
Mm-hmm.
When you put him outside, he doesn't really separate as much as I think you'd like. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what he is.
Yep.
And I mean, we're now a calendar year in and into the second season, and I don't love that I don't know yet.
So
I already feel like I know what Jalen Lane is.
Yeah. So the usage for me would be if you are playing against a team that, or playing against defenses where they got to go, okay, we have to zone this team. Talking about Washington. We cannot play man-to-man because ... Soft spot in the zone, he'll catch everything. I feel like his hands are excellent. You know what I mean? Hands catches everywhere and always secure the ball, get what's there, et cetera. Dependable, kind of, you know, a good catch maven. I don't see him. Again, maybe I'm wrong. Some of the advanced numbers say, no, he's getting separation. He's routing guys up. He's doing the thing. He's just not getting the ball. I don't know, man. Something's not jiving
practice,
with that.
Practice, it wasn't like he got open a lot. It seems like it's constantly small window, especially outside on the boundary near the sideline or whatever. When he's just running down the field on go stuff, like, he's got good speed.
Yeah.
I think he's maybe a contested catch guy, too. Just remembering his highlight sizzle reel from college was a lot of leaping catches over top of people. We haven't seen that asked of him necessarily.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
One worry, number one concern heading into the 2025 season. We've seen a couple of preseason games. Honestly, I don't think that any of what my concern is comes from either of the two games. But what is it? 301-230-0980. I want to hear, as we are getting closer to the regular season, what you're concerned about. So I have a number one, but I also want to mention something else. And I'm going to mention the something else first, and then Max will weigh in as well. The something else is this. The NFC, to me, looks loaded. Like, I think that there are some really good football teams. Clearly, Philadelphia is a really good football team, not just in production off of last year, but, you know, on paper. They are good. And by the way, the star that's coming, and it's coming sooner rather than later, is the rookie Campbell out of Alabama that they traded up one spot to take at number 31. This dude, if you read anything that's coming out of Philadelphia, they think they have an absolute stud linebacker and playmaker on defense. Like, they needed more of them. You know, with Davis and Carter and Bond and Dean, who, by the way, was out during the, you know, the latter half of the preseason. And then the young corners, Mitchell and DeJean. This is a team that on paper should be unbelievable defensively. Defense sometimes fools you. Got it. Still, look out for Jihad Campbell out of Alabama, number one. But I think the NFC, you know, this is my ancillary concern, that Washington could be a really good team. And yet, in their own division, Philly, Dallas healthy, might be a threat. I still think Dallas has a major issue defensively against the run. I think that's their biggest problem. By the way, that could be our biggest problem as well. I think the Giants are just flat out better than most people think, but I've thought that the last couple of years and been dead wrong. It's going to come down to quarterback. I still think Detroit is incredibly capable. They are healthier on defense. They'll have Aiden Hutchinson back. I think Green Bay is a good football team and a well-coached football team. If J.J. McCarthy is legit, then I think Minnesota's got a very good team and an exceptionally well-coached team. I think Tampa is good, and I think the Rams and the 49ers are both teams capable. If they remain healthy, Stafford, clearly the health issue with the Rams, and San Francisco with all of their key players. Remember, other than Debo, they still have their star players. It's just a matter of whether or not they'll be ready to play. Christian McCaffrey will be able to play 17 games. Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, George Kittle, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner. They have a level, if not a plus level, star players. And Brandon Ayuk, not going to be back probably until sometime in month two, but we'll see. So just as kind of an ancillary, it's not my number one, but, and you never know how these things play out. Health means so much, but God, the NFC all of a sudden has turned to, there are many capable teams. And in the, you know, overall of the league, the best team in the NFL likely exists in the NFC and specifically in the NFC East. Now, my number one concern is the ability to stop the run. 26th last year per DVOA, they obviously went out and tried to change the look. You know, they wanted to get bigger up front. They did that with Kinlaw. We'll find out whether or not, you know, a couple of the other guys even make the team or end up being contributors. But they wanted to get bigger with the Wises and the Kinlaws of the world. And they look bigger. And, you know, the other night, again, it's preseason. Cincinnati went into that game with sort of a makeshift offensive line situation. But I thought Washington up front was pretty good, you know, and I thought Kinlaw and a couple of others looked the part. We'll see when we get to the opener against the Giants. But last year, it was the biggest problem, and there's nothing that says until we see real games that they have fixed that problem. And with this team this year, they need to have fixed the problem because it starts with a guy like Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary, and that's the least of it. Week two, it's Josh Jacobs, you know, a borderline elite level back in the NFL. Week three, they'll get the rookie in Ashton Jeanty. Week four, you could argue one of the top two or three backs in the league in Bijan Robinson. Week five, you get the LA situation with the rookie out of North Carolina, Omarion Hampton, and Najee Harris. The Monday nighter against Chicago, maybe not a lot to be concerned about, although DeAndre Swift basically turned that game around before the Hail Mary with that long touchdown run in the third quarter that got Chicago back into that game. And then you go after Chicago. Hold on, let me pull the schedule back up. I just lowered it. Then you get Dallas, and you get their situation. I wouldn't say at this point that they've got, you know, a dominant back. I've always been a Javonte Williams fan. He's just never been able to stay healthy, but we don't know what the rookie, Jaden Blue from Texas, will look like. And then you get, after him, you get Kansas City. Then you get Seattle and their backs. I mean, Seattle's loaded with running backs. You know, they have Kenneth Walker III. They've got Zach Charbonnet. They've got the rookie Damian Martinez. I don't know how he'll find his way into a lineup with those particular backs. After Seattle, you get Jahmyr Gibbs. Then you get Devon Achane. Then you get Aaron Jones. Then you get, oh, by the way, Saquon Barkley twice to end the season. The number one key to beating Washington week in and week out, we always do the keys to beating the opponent. The keys to beating Washington, if you're doing that segment in every other NFL market before you play Washington, is keep number five off the field. Keep number five and that offense off the field. How do you do that? By controlling the football. What's the best way to do that? By grinding it out. By keeping the football and being balanced, yes, but being able to run it when you want to run it. And to me, that would be my number one concern. Like, there is nothing that says to me in the opener against the Giants that they're just going to completely shut down the Giant offense and the Giant running game. Giants have a decent offensive line. They have the ability to, if you load the box, to kill you with Malik Nabers, for sure. So Tracy, I thought, had a good rookie season. I thought it was an underrated rookie season. He was a fourth-round pick out of Purdue. Fourth-round pick, something like that. He rushed for 800. Here it is, fifth-round pick. He rushed for 839 yards last year on a bad team, averaged 4.4 yards per carry. He had some games, too, man. He had some games against a good defensive team, Pittsburgh. That was a Monday night game, 20 carries, 145 yards, and a touchdown in a game that they were in, 7.3 yards per carry. In the two games, he didn't really play in the first game, didn't play until starting really in week five as a rookie. And his first game in which he got a bunch of carries, 18 for 129 against Seattle in week five last year. But in that really good game in the Meadowlands, he was 16 for 66, 4.1 yards. I thought he was effective. So there's nothing that says to me that the Giants can't grind it out, can't, you know, stay on the field with their running game and with some third and shorts and fourth and shorts and limit the possessions that Washington has offensively. That's my number one concern, is that Washington struggles again defensively, but specifically against the run, and teams are able to basically, you know, meet that number one key to beating Washington, which is keep Jaden on the sideline. Before we get to the calls, Max, what's your number one concern?
So you're spot on with this, the run-stopping thing. And throughout the preseason, I've kind of noticed, I understand it's preseason, but when the starters have been out there, and even when they haven't been, teams have really been able to run the football kind of all over. Like, if it, and the measurement I kind of stack up or measure up to when you're a defense is, it, can you stop them when they need a yard? And we saw that in the preseason game literally two nights ago against the Bengals, where they needed a yard. They got it right into the end zone. Now, Quan Martin tried his best, but it just didn't work out. And so I'm absolutely with you on that being a concern. Another one for me is just general health of the team going forward. Because last year they got really lucky in terms of like injuries and stuff like that. And I understand it's football. Everyone's always going to play hurt. But like, how healthy is Marcus Mariota at backup quarterback just in case Jaden Daniels does end up going down? Are we going to have to roll Josh Johnson out there at some point, which, God help us all.
We're really not going to get into the conversation about being concerned about the third string quarterback.
Fair enough.
Are we?
No, but
because I will tell you, if we get to Josh Johnson, this season is over.
For sure.
If we get to Marcus Mariota, the competitive portion of the season is likely over.
Absolutely. But not only that in the quarterback room, but like just kind of around the rest of the team, the pieces surrounding Jaden. Terry coming back late, is that going to affect him coming into this season? How healthy is Brandon Coleman? So, like, and these pieces on the offensive line that are supposed to be protecting Jaden, but if they're hurt, well, then he might be scrambling just as much as he did last year. And now Trey Amos is dealing with a little bit of a hamstring thing. So I'm seeing all of these little just kind of nicks here and there. And I mean, they could turn into something throughout the season. They may not. But I mean, the depth at corner is these guys have got to stay healthy, because after Noah Eye, it's a good bit of drop off with that secondary. So that's kind of where I'm at in terms of concern. It's mostly injury at this point.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What's your number one concern heading into this season? Let's start with Tom in Columbia. Tom, go ahead.
Maxims of one, you have to effectively run the ball, and two, defensively stop the ball, ties directly into this team's success. And I think you hit on it with the defensive line and in general, the defense itself is directly going to affect Jaden Daniels. For example, if we're playing in the hole a lot of the season and suddenly his passing attempts are going sky high, it's going to open up opportunities. He'll have sky high yardage. His touchdowns might be up, but his interceptions and turnovers are probably going to correlate with that. But I think if the defensive line can be stout, it's gonna allow the offense to flourish in levels we've never seen. But the problem is that, and I think this is due to fantasy and Madden, everybody tends to look at a statistical line on Jaden Daniels to determine his success. And I think that if you change that lens to we're looking at championship level success, which means you got to stop the run, because if you don't stop the run, the other team's going to flourish. Jaden Daniels is going to be playing in a hole coming from behind, and it opens up the other team just to attack, and it opens him up to injury. So everything's predicated on those two maxims that cover all generations of football: run the ball effectively on offense and stop the run. So I think that's where they're putting their offseason emphasis on. They got to stop the run, because it's going to affect Jaden Daniels and the team.
Yeah, good call, Tom, and I agree with all that. You know, it's funny, during the course of the season last year, I kept saying, you just can't win in January. You can get to January, but you can't win in January if you can't stop the run. And I was saying that during the course of the season, as they continued to have issues stopping the run, and yet they were still winning games. And, you know, you talk about the context, I talk about the context of games. If you can't, you know, get off the field, if you can't stop the run, and what it would put the offense. Look, they were in those positions last year a few times. I mean, you know, the Philadelphia game, although ironically, what put them in that position in the Philadelphia game were their own turnovers. But that wasn't the case in the Atlanta game, and they came from two scores down. Jaden's capable of week in and week out, you know, even with the context sideways in terms of how it would tilt towards, you know, win probability for the other team, he's still capable of overcoming that. But, you know, ultimately, you know, even against Detroit, where Jahmyr Gibbs was going for 10 yards a carry, they were just unstoppable on offense. But it did catch up with him, right? Saquon Barkley rips off a 60-yard run on first down on the first play from scrimmage, and Philadelphia rushes for 240 yards or whatever, and it's 55-23. I am still a believer, even though it was tested last season, that you can't be a sieve against the run and expect to win in January. You can be great offensively, and that can get you to 10 and get you into the postseason, but it is really hard to win a couple in a row, or three in a row if you're not the one seed, if you can't stop the run. So that is number one for me. You know, and we talked about this when the season ended. The trenches had to change, both sides of the ball, but really on defense, they had to get better, and they had to get better on the edge in particular. All right, let's go to Steve in Columbia. Steve, your number one concern heading into 25. Your number one worry is what?
My number one worry is depth behind the starting linebackers. 1A, depth behind the starting wide receivers. And I'll just add, even I love Terry, want him back, need him back. Even with him, there were times last year when the receivers were not getting open. And I don't want Jaden to think he has to do everything and be Superman, because that's when you run into problems. But those are my concerns. I just don't think there's anybody who stepped up on the linebacker side or the receiver side to date.
Yeah, I'm with you. The linebackers, I think I'm a little bit less with you, because I do still have some belief in guys like Jordan McGee, and I'm a fan of Kane Medrano and maybe his possibilities, although, you know, he is more of a linebacker and has looked at, you know, during this preseason.
Kevin, Jordan McGee hasn't been he can't get on the field.
Who?
He can't stay healthy. McGee,
you're talking. Yeah, no, I understood.
Whatever his name is, yeah.
I think a guy like, you know, I think a guy like Tyler Owens can really play in the box a lot too. But wide receiver, no doubt. You know, depth is an issue. It was an issue last year, of course. It was an issue last year, and they were still one of the best five offenses in the NFL. But to your point, do we want to put as much on the quarterback? Well, they do that in Buffalo. They do that in Kansas City. They do that in Baltimore. And if the offensive line is significantly improved, you know, there's some hope that you'll be able to run the football with more than just your quarterback this year. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Jay, Tony, Billy, Lou, Lapp, everybody else on hold. Stay there. We've got an open line. What's your number one worry heading into the upcoming season? All of our Team 980 training camp and preseason coverage is brought to you nationally by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just saw a headline that reads, Jackson Dart's preseason dominance. I think we got to relax, people. I think we got to relax, people.
Hey, man, it's content game.
Content game's a dirty business,
yes,
man.
Yes, indeed, man.
I'm from these streets. I know it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the haters at CBSSports.com think the Commanders get their first loss of the season week two in Green Bay. They write, after playing on Sunday in week one, the Commanders have to turn around and play a Thursday road game at Green Bay, which isn't an easy ask. If the Packers lose in week one, which is exactly what we have happening, then they'll be desperate to win this game so they don't fall to 0-2.
So they don't think a team that comes out and beat the Giants won't be like desperate to win the second game because they want to start off? They don't want to hear people talking?
The Packers open with the Lions.
Okay.
Now, Jordan Love is also dealing with that thumb injury.
Remember, that thing.
It's not throwing at him, but it's a thing.
Okay.
So, the Commanders, according to CBS Sports, lose week one in Green Bay. I'm looking at the roster. I'm looking at the schedule.
Okay.
With the full understanding, eyes wide open here, it's hard to win in the NFL.
Very.
Joe Gibbs famously said it. It's hard to win up here. Everybody gets paid. Giants are going to have a good defense. I don't think anybody should be looking past the Giants. I do think they beat the Giants.
Okay.
Despite Jackson Dart's preseason dominance, Brian.
Dominance.
I think that Green Bay game is a hard game. Short week, on the road, Lambeau. All those Sconnies will be chugging beer and tossing back cheese curds. That's a tough game. I'm not scared of it, though.
At all?
I think this team, the way the D-line looks, Raiders at home. I think that Raiders team is going to be much improved. Like you said, Pete Carroll's no joke. I think Geno's a pro. I think Genty can play. Max Crosby's a beast. Like, the Raiders are not to be looked past.
Hell no.
I think they can beat the Raiders. At Atlanta, I like Washington at Atlanta. I've covered. I got a real question, B. I've covered a number of games in Atlanta, mm-hmm. including the old Georgia Dome and now at Mercedes-Benz. I don't think I've ever covered a loss in Atlanta. I think I'm undefeated down there.
You undefeated? Or teams undefeated when you cover?
Whatever. Semantics. I think they start 4-0, dude. And then I think the back-to-back roadies going to L.A., I think that Chargers team's going to be pretty good. I think Harbaugh's a grinder. I think I got the first loss Sunday, October 5th in L.A. I got a 4-1.
Who they play after L.A.?
Chicago Monday night at home. Then at Dallas week 7. At KC week 8 for Monday Night Football. So that's another back-to-back roadie week 7 and 8.
All right.
You want to just go through line by line?
I think it's going to be, if I had to say that they'll have a loss, I would go with KC.
So you got them starting 7-0.
That sounds like 1991, don't it?
It does. Sure does. Do you know how nuts things would be if they start 7-0?
Yeah, it'd be nuts if they go 1-0. It'd be nuts if they go 2-0.
It's nuts right now.
They're already ready to explode, dude. I mean, when you look at that, I would say that that game of a game, but they won't be favorite.
If you look...
A game against Kansas City is what I'm talking about.
White Brian, see if there's a look-ahead line to week 2 in Green Bay. I'd be curious what that spread is. I mean, they'll be
Green
favored.
Green Bay minus 3, I would think.
You think?
It's in Lambeau. You played on Sunday. You're coming in on a Thursday, you know.
So they could be dogs week 2. They're relatively heavy favorites week 1. They could be dogs week 2. Week 3, Raiders are going to be favored. Week 4, Falcons.
I don't know if the Raiders are going to be favored against them.
No, I'm saying the Skins, look, Commanders will be favored.
Oh, I thought you said the Raiders would be
favored. No. I meant they will be favored, meaning right, Washington.
Gotcha.
I could see them being slight road favorites in Atlanta. I think they'll be dogs against the Chargers, but it'll be a tight line. Favorite at home against the Bears. I could see them favored on the road against Dallas, depending how things start in Dallas.
Yeah.
I think the first definitive underdog situation, you're right, is at KC.
Mm-hmm.
Dog, this schedule is tough. I mean, think about
– Oh, it's going to be a tough one. But
– just in the month of October, playoff team in the Chargers, Bears took them to the wire last year, Dallas divisional game, at KC, a Super Bowl team. Then you get to November, and it's Seattle, Detroit, the trip to Madrid.
Okay. I'll say this. Yes, last year they played them tight. Chicago. I don't think it's going to be like that this year. I believe 5 is not going to allow, whatchamacallit, to even be close. Because he just got that little internal thing. Because you know your boy acted like he wasn't supposed to lose last year. So, we're going to see what happens.
Yeah. I can't wait to find out.
You neither?
I cannot wait. Lanville, when do you think they lose their first game? You got them going undefeated?
Yep, undefeated.
Now, if Jeff said that, I might actually believe him. Jeffrey, when you got them losing their first game?
First Philly game.
That's week 16, Jeff.
No. Can't be week 16.
Yo,
they played Philly twice in the last two games?
16 and 18 with Dallas in the middle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The last 4 are all NFC East games with roadies in New York and
Philly.
Is that
week 16 or week 17?
They play Philly week 16.
Okay.
Because if you remember, they have to play them. I think they play them Saturday because then they play Dallas on Thursday on Christmas.
Safa.
Jeff, you got them going.
Nah.
14-0 to start, dog?
Nah, I was trolling you.
Hell, Lanville's got him going undefeated.
I think.
They must be passing that stuff around in there.
The gummies are hitting.
Hiawassa.
I have to say, looking at the schedule, I have to say I see our first loss being the Chiefs.
Okay, so you got him going 7-0 to start. You and B are on that KC game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's L.A. a little earlier. That would be a good poll question. When does the first loss come? Is it first six games, middle six games, undefeated? Those are your options.
You can't give nobody that option of no undefeated. The majority is going to be saying, oh, yeah, they're going undefeated this year.
One dude who really liked what he saw from the Commanders on Monday night, Brian Baldinger. He highlighted some of the blocking by that offensive line by
man.
John Bates. Brian Baldinger, Baldy, joins us next.
I think it's going to be Bill.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right? I mean, they love him. And I know it's an easy thing to say, like, oh, it's going to be Bill. Everybody loves him. He's a rookie. But it really is the case. From the moment he stepped on the field in training camp, he's just turned heads with the way he plays. And I think what they'll do, too, is I think it might start with a little bit of running back by committee, because I think if you know Cliff Kingsbury, one of the reasons why he's enamored with Kroski Merritt is his speed, his ability to sort of hit that home run ball, if you will, and to take it to the house like we saw in last preseason's games. But also, I don't think you want to wear him out early on. Chris Rodriguez has looked good. So I think it'll sort of be, let's spread it out based on Cliff's offense. And then as the season goes on, as these guys get more comfortable, I think it's going to be Kroski Merritt. They got a real gem in this guy, especially in a late round like they did.
This will be our Grant and Danny poll of the day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best in class service and experience. You can vote 1067 The Fan's Twitter account. Who's going to lead this team in carries, and what's the order going to look like at the end of the year in rushing attempts? You just heard Michael Jenkins' answer from the Commanders broadcast network. But this divorce is happening. Brian Robinson is out. In fact, there were reports today that he doesn't even have a locker out in Ashburn at this point. But when Dan Quinn is meeting with his team ahead of a preseason game and telling them that Brian Robinson is not going to play, what I also believe was said was Brian Robinson's not going to be on our team anymore. Like, I don't think he's a part of the operation.
Right.
So now you try to trade him, and if you can't, you make it official and you release him. But remember when I had suggested and speculated maybe he wouldn't take it too well to be demoted and just be a back-of-the-roster guy?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound like he took the idea that they were thinking about cutting him too well either, because to go from top guy in drills and getting carries with the first team 10, 12 days ago to whatever this is now, something went sideways.
Yeah, I was going to say, running with the ones to no locker is quite the de-escalation, or whatever you want to call it, is the journey. Yeah.
That's not the pace with which things generally happen.
No.
But running back room right now. So Robinson will set to the side. Eckler is the third down, 2-minute, 4-minute back. He is the pass catcher out of the backfield. But while there's going to be some first and second down work, he's certainly not going to be the traditional three down back that, you know, around the league existed a long time ago. And if you have a special guy, it may still exist now. So the question really is, who fills in on first and second down as this year goes on? I think there's a great chance that Chris Rodriguez gets the first and 10 carry to open the season against the Giants, just because he's next in line, and Kroski Merritt gets in where he fits in, and then over a few weeks kind of supplants him and becomes the guy that gets the most touches. But is there someone else in this conversation other than Kroski Merritt, Rodriguez, and Eckler? Does McNichols make the roster? He got plenty of carries last year. Could we see a guy like Demetric Felton as the year goes on, for whatever reason, who's got more NFL carries under his belt than Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt does? Pretty similar to Chris Rodriguez in terms of the role he once had in Cleveland with the Browns. So I want to get your answer, Danny, and then we'll hit the phones. But let's open up the lines now at 800-636-1067 for you guys. Rank your top three backs in rushing attempts this season as you see that going.
So I think it's going to be Rodriguez by a nose. Not by a lot, but very, very close.
Number one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I think it's going to be as committee-y as you can find, hot hand as you can find. I don't think they've got a guy that's going to get 20 carries a game consistently. I just don't think that's who they are. I think Daniels is going to get his share. You've got to set aside 100 carries, give or take, for Austin Eckler. That's in that 6 to 8 range per game, assuming health, but you never can with him. I just don't know if there's a one-guy bell cow kind of a situation. I think different Different packages, different defenses, different lineups, different heat maps, who's going well, etc. I think Rodriguez still want that thumping downhill between the tackles guy, even though I don't really care about it. So I think we're sleeping on the idea that Rodriguez isn't going to be a significant part. But I think he leads the team in carries as a running back. I think Daniels leads the team in carries. But I think it's Rodriguez by just a handful.
So 115 to 120 is the range that I think Eckler's in if he plays all 17 games. Because I think he'll probably miss a couple of games.
He was at 6.5 per carries last year, so yeah, that math checks out.
Basically the exact same ratio, so to speak. But I'll put him, you said 100. I think that probably works because I think he misses a couple games. Mm-hmm. Let's say 105 carries for him. Robinson got 187 that gets divvied up. Daniels was second on the team with 148. I actually think there's a real good chance, to your point, that Daniels leads the team in rushing attempts if Kroski Merritt doesn't take off. I have a hard time believing Chris Rodriguez would. So I'm going to go first. I'll say Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. And I think he ends up getting maybe 165, 170 carries, something like that. Daniels, not part of the exercise, but I think would probably be second, somewhere around 125 to 150 in the range that he was last year. Third, I'm going to go with Eckler at, say, 105 or whatever. And then I would go Rodriguez, third among backs, fourth overall. He had 35 last year. I'll basically triple that and say he's in the 90s, low 100s, right behind Eckler. So I guess my order would be Bill Merritt, JCM number one, Eckler number two, and then Rodriguez number three. But I kind of think you could put it in a blender. Like, we're all spitballing here.
Sure.
How could anybody know? And a lot of this is also going to have to do with not only health at that position, clearly, but who's the hot hand? If Chris Rodriguez rips off a 40-yard carry in the season-opening carry like he did in the preseason opener against the Bengals at home post the Robinson news, he's not coming off the field the next drive. Like, let's say he goes 12 for 96 in week one. Well, he's getting 12 to 15 carries the next week. So if it works, they're going to keep feeding him. I'll still roll with Merritt. He is the biggest reason why I think they're comfortable moving on from Robinson. It's not Chris Rodriguez, it's Merritt.
Here's my counter to your counter. Again, I agree with all that. I'm just trying to read them. And last year, despite wild ineffectiveness, despite a complete inability to do very much at all with his carries, it was still Brian Robinson until it wasn't, right? We're still going to trot this out there and see if it goes. Again, that New Orleans game where they ran him into the line of scrimmage a million times, that was late in the season. That wasn't week two where we're still figuring it out. They thought their bread was going to be buttered that way, right? Where you go to that to the Tampa game, didn't do much. They ran great against Detroit, but who didn't? But you have those. They showed you what they're after, what they want. I think they still want, even though Kingsbury's offense is about spreading you out, ball in space, you know, moving targets, getting people going. I still think they want to make you honest. Like, you got to cover your gut. You get enough gut punches with a downhill between the tackles runner that now you start to respect some of those fakes more. And I think that's what Rodriguez's game is.
What about Deebo Samuel? Now, Deebo's career high is 59 rushing attempts in his monster 2021 season when he was mostly a receiver. He went for 1,400 yards and 6 touchdowns that year. He led the NFL 18 yards per catch. But he did have 60 carries basically that season, averaging right around 5 yards per carry, I think it was. If you take the numbers and kind of account for age and injury history and knock off, you know, a dozen or 15 or 20 carries, you know, you could still have him in the mid-40s. That's more carries, as an example, to give you a comp, than Chris Rodriguez had here last year.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like there were games where he was heavily involved. He played in 9 games. He got carries in 7 or 8 games. And yet, Deebo, in his normal year in San Francisco, out-carried that. Could he be third on the team in rushing attempts behind whichever two separate themselves? Like, I'm going Merritt Eckler. You're going Rodriguez Merritt?
Yeah.
Then Eckler would be third, but what's realistic? I think Deebo carrying the ball, if he plays in 15, 16 games, 45 or 50 times while bullish is not crazy. I also think that's part of the B-Rob thing. I think they think he's going to be heavily involved. I don't think it's a coincidence that the first play of the actual dress rehearsal where Cliff Kingsbury put together a plan like he wants to in the regular season, The first play was a Deebo end around.
Looking back at last year, there were just over 500 carries, right? I mean, some of it is a kneel down here or there or whatever. So basically, in games, there's just over 500 carries. Daniels is going to account for some, whether it's designed or otherwise. So you take those 120, 130 right off the board. Eckler needs his two, take that 100 off the board. So you're really talking about 300 carries, you know, give or take, right? In terms of regulation, in-game type flow. So I don't know how many there's going to be for Deebo Samuel or the second option, third option, etc. To me, if you're trying to keep Deebo himself, I don't necessarily want him running between the tackles 45, 50 times. You know, it's to me, you can get that same effect on a pop pass. You can get that same effect on a bubble screen or something like that. You want the ball in his hands, but lining him up as a straight tailback, I don't know how many times you do that. Maybe you show it once to keep him honest, but is it three carries a week for Deebo Samuel? 2 to 3? That's kind of puts you in that 35, 40 range.
So I made the case on Monday after the preseason game, or going into the preseason game, rather, and then on Tuesday after the preseason game yesterday, that we're under-talking about Rodriguez, who's the closest thing to Robinson, that to replace him, you use a guy like him.
Mm-hmm.
I get that logic, but that is the question for you guys right now on the phones. Who is the big beneficiary here? Who leads them in carries this season, if you had to forecast that now? The seventh rounder from Arizona, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, or Chris Rodriguez? Or is it possible that they really turn up the faders on Austin Eckler and in a kind of three-headed monster, he ends up with 135 or 140 carries or something way up from last year because he's healthier and he's their leading rusher at this point of his career?
So yesterday was like trade central in the NFL. And I was looking at some of these trades that were made. There's no chance that Adam Peters can't get something back for Brian Robinson.
You'd think, or you'd hope at least, but like at the same time, you know he's going to get cut, so why would you give up any assets? You know what I mean?
I think what you have to do if you're Adam Peters is start to position teams against one another. Like, yeah. We have heard that San Francisco is interested
Miami.
In Brian Robinson. Miami is another team.
There are a couple others.
That is interested in Brian Robinson. And you just have to position those teams against one another and get somebody to bite on a price that is a little bit larger than the other team wants to give up. I'm not suggesting it's going to be a massive haul in return. I don't think... Like last year when Adam Peters got a third rounder for Jahan Dotson, we were like, all right, like that's, you know, he was kind of going to be wide receiver too. He was a first round pick. Like maybe this is a little crazy. And then you started seeing what other receivers were going for who were not as good as Jahan Dotson. And they were going for less. And then you got Deebo for like a fifth. And you're like, yo, this Adam Peters guy might be pretty crazy, man. Like his dude might be chefing it up. I believe he's going to get something in return for Brian Robinson. That's why I believe that Brian Robinson has yet to be cut. They have sent him away from the team. He didn't practice yesterday. He's not going to practice today, more likely than not, although Dan Quinn will probably give us an official word on that in about 29 minutes. He gets to the podium prior to practice. They practice at 1 p.m. today. You will hear that presser in its entirety right here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in. Because they have not cut him yet, when everyone on the planet knows that he's not going to be here next year, leads me to believe there is something being cooked up to get something in return for Brian Robinson. And then I see some of the trades that were made yesterday across the NFL. And I'm like, all right, if some of these guys are getting moved and there is something coming back to the team in return, there is a market out there for Brian Robinson. So here were some of the trades that were made yesterday. The one that really caught my eye, Max, that made me come up with this thought process and kind of enlightened me. The Chiefs traded Sky Moore to the 49ers, Sky Moore in a seventh for a sixth round pick. You're like, well, who is Sky Moore? Honestly, I think the Chiefs might ask that question on certain weeks too. Like he had the touchdown in the Super Bowl. I don't know if it was two years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He had the touchdown in the Super Bowl where everyone's like, oh, this guy might be something. And then when he was expected to be something last year, he was a whole lot of not something. I'm not going to say he was nothing, but he wasn't a lot of things. Like, there really wasn't a lot. This dude in 2024...
fooled a lot of fantasy managers, let me tell you that.
He played 14 games. He caught 21 passes for 244 yards and a touchdown. In 2023, let me rephrase that. In 2024, he played six games. He was thrown to three times. In 2022, I think 2022 might have been the year that he had that touchdown in the Super Bowl. 16 games, 22 catches, 33 yards, 250 yards, no touchdowns. Hell in the regular season, he has caught 43 passes for 494 yards and a whopping one touchdown, and he got something in return. Yeah, like there might have been a draft pick attached to him, but it was a seventh, and they got a sixth in return. If that dude can move draft picks, Brian Robinson is better than him. I know there's a lot of people that don't think very highly of Brian Robinson. I happen to like him a little bit. I kind of thought he was going to be running back one on this team. I thought he had a pretty decent training camp. Stepped into a leadership role from when I was out there at mini camps and training camps, like very vocal. So I was anticipating that Brian Robinson was going to have a big role with this team in 2025, and he's not. He's going to be gone. They're going to go with Rodriguez and Bill and probably Jeremy McNichols and then, of course, Austin Eckler. Eckler is like he is the OG in that running back room, and he is a perfect OG to have in that running back room. Still makes plays, but just a really good head on his shoulders. If Sky Moore, though, who has a total of 494 yards while playing with Patrick Mahomes, if he can get a draft pick in return, Brian Robinson should be able to get a draft pick in return, especially if you play a particular kind of scheme that lends well to running backs, like San Francisco does, Miami does. I mean, these two guys, it's literally from the Shanahan tree. In one hand, it is Shanahan, and then in the other one, it's like Shanahan's younger brother that he like kind of likes but like kind of doesn't like because Mike McDaniel is like on such a different level personality-wise than what Kyle Shanahan is. But those guys love running the football. I would think they'd be able to find a way to utilize Brian Robinson, yeah, at least a little bit. And if you're Adam Peters, you should be able to get something in return for them. And then there was another trade of a wide receiver, a guy by the name of Devon Vellie. V-E-L-E.
I've been pronouncing it Vellie in my updates just because it sounds right.
Well, Vellie is like high class. You know, it's like filet. Yeah. I don't know if he puts up numbers to be that high class. You know, if he's gonna be pronounced like filet, I'm gonna need to see a couple of 1,000-yard seasons in there. We have seen none of that. This guy, 475 yards, three touchdowns last year for the Denver Broncos. He was traded to the New Orleans Saints. He got a fourth and a seventh. And Brian Robinson can't get anything?
Well, it's also the Saints.
Fair point.
Let's keep that in front of our
mind.
Not
exactly the best run organization at this particular point in time. That is correct. That's a fair point. But I feel like if he can have one season of adequate play with a quarterback situation that was pretty good last year, a coaching situation that was pretty darn good last year with Sean Payton, if he can get a fourth and a seventh, I feel like Brian Robinson can at least get a sixth. Like, I'm not asking for a fifth. I'm not asking for a fourth. But I think Brian Robinson can get a sixth.
You'd hope. But given where we're at, like, cuts are coming soon. I really don't know, man. I just don't see anybody that's going to be willing to give up that capital. But if you can, because reportedly, the Dallas Cowboys are in on this, too. So,
oh, you can swindle Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one you got to start playing. You got to start playing Jerry a little bit.
I mean, if you're going to swindle anybody, Jerry Jones is prime. He is that filet. He is prime. Swindle that man. You want to talk about a guy that needs some good PR right now? He got Micah Parsons going on the Notes app this offseason. Nothing good has come from the Notes app. Not a damn thing.
Not one.
Good has come from the Notes app. Good things come on letterhead, not the Notes app. And Brian Robinson to Dallas, that would be at least some good PR for Jerry to be like, hey, look, we stole one from the division. Hey, he played really well at times. Him and George Pickens with CeeDee Lamb, like we stole one from the Commanders, guys. Maybe you can swindle Jerry Jones. I mean, he gave up a higher round draft pick for that Jonathan Mingo guy than I think anyone anticipated. I'm trying to remember. It was either a fourth or a fifth, but it was a guy that had like barely played.
I need
and he
Adam
gave up that for him.
I need AP to pick up the phone and just float it out there. Hey, Jerry, B-Rob for Micah.
What you actually want to know, what do you think the negotiating process is like for Jerry, like with Jerry Jones? Because the man is senile.
You got to talk to my son, Steven, first.
Like, hey, Jerry, if we make a handshake deal on this, is it going to count? No. Are you going to file the paperwork? Because you said you bought the team on a handshake, and you're scratching your head as to why Michael Parsons ain't here, because you and him had a handshake deal with that, the agent. If we can shake your hand when we get you all liquored up, is that going to count? Will you give us Micah for Brian Robinson straight up? He doesn't want to be there. You probably would love Brian Robinson. He runs hard. You're a running back guy, Jerry. You know, Zeke Elliott, the rebirth of Zeke Elliott didn't work very well.
Him, man.
Run style could be similar if you drink enough alcohol. And maybe if you drink enough, you could make him look like Emmitt Smith. I don't know if weed is legal in Dallas, but
for Jerry Jones,
it is. I mean, Jerry Jones can do anything. He's a billionaire. I think you could get Jerry under enough substances to be like, yeah, the Brian Robinson move might work here. Here's a second.
Absolutely. It would work. Get on the phone, Adam.
And then he'll have his press conference. Jerry Jones will. Adam Peters will not. Josh Harris will not. They'll just be like, hey, we got a second round pick for Brian Robinson. Take a bow. Adam might wear a Let Adam Cook polo after something like that. I was looking at some of these other trades. Like Harrison Phillips got traded from the Vikings to the Jets for some draft capital. Now, he's a little bit older, but it was Harrison Phillips in his seventh to the Jets for 2 6th round picks. This man has had 8 career sacks at the defensive tackle position. Not bad numbers. Feels like much more of a run-stopping kind of guy. But if he can net 2 6th rounders, I really don't feel like a lot of teams across the NFL have like a great value for 6th or 7th rounders. Especially if you're taking into consideration, like if you are a team as silly as Dallas, or if you are a team like a San Francisco. San Francisco, I don't know how much you've looked at their schedule, Max. Very easy. Like an absolute cakewalk of a schedule. A good running back makes your life a lot easier. And if you're Brian Robinson in that system that they're running there, some of the holes are gaping. Like they're impossible to miss. Where he was very obviously missing a lot of holes last year at the end of the year, which is why this predicament has revealed itself. You would be going crazy in San Francisco. And you wouldn't even have to be asked to do that much. Like you're running back 2 behind Christian McCaffrey, who's one of the all-timers of this particular generation. There's no pressure. All you got to do is when you get 8 or 9 carries, just run really hard through that massive opening. That's all you got to do. I think he could very much do that. And I think you could get a 6th round for him because you're not going to draft anybody. Like if you are Miami, right? Or if you are San Francisco, and if I'm Adam Peters, this is what I'm harping on the phone with them. Who are you getting in the 6th round next year that will immediately contribute more than this guy now? The answer is not many. I know San Francisco might scoff at that a little bit because they have had a history of drafting really well deep into the NFL draft, and their cornerback was Mr. Irrelevant, and he got a long-term deal, so they might be the ones that turn their nose up on it. They're just pretentious in general. Like, Kyle Shanahan kind of oozes this pretentiousness. I hope Kevin doesn't get mad at me for saying that, because I know he loves him. But he is a pretentious SOB in most instances. He grew his hair out, too. The only thing worse than a pretentious SOB is a pretentious SOB with good hair. Saying that as a guy that lost his hair before the age of 30, but whatever. I'm a little petty. That's on me more than anything. But they might turn their nose up at that. McDaniel needs everything he can get right now. That situation in Miami, he is very much on the hot seat. He needs a win. And if Brian Robinson helps give him that win, you can replace some of the running back talent that you are down from last year to this year. Why not? Maybe if you're Adam Peters, you troll him a little bit in Miami, be like, hey, Brian Robinson for Tyreek Hill. You guys don't like Tyreek Hill. We know you don't like Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill don't like you guys right now. He said that in front of a camera on a live microphone. Tyreek Hill last year said, I don't want to be here next year. He's there right now. Brian Robinson for Tyreek Hill, straight up. Who says no? Twist the arm a little bit there. But I do think, if we're putting jokes aside, I do think in large parts, Brian Robinson can contribute to a team in 2025. Some of the rhetoric around him feels a little overzealous. just because we don't, we're kind of done with him. Like, I like Brian Robinson. I'm kind of done with him here. He's hit his ceiling, whatever that ceiling is. Don't need to see another year of it. If he's not going to be in the long-term plans, it is best to move on from him as quickly as possible. I think that's as fair to Brian Robinson as it is to your organization, and then in turn to your fan base. You give B-Rob an opportunity to go somewhere else and just see if the grass is greener, see if another situation is going to be more beneficial to him as a player. And then from you as the team's perspective, you get something in return for a guy that you are not going to use, and you kind of avoid what you had to do a bunch last year, which is just releasing and cutting the Ron Rivera guys, because shockingly, nobody wanted to trade anything for Jamin Davis or Emmanuel Forbes or the laundry list of Ron Rivera guys that have not amounted to anything here in DC, because Ron Rivera was far and away the worst drafting general manager slash coach that the league has ever seen. I mean, his track record is just stunningly terrible. Like, Kwan and Cosme are the only hits out of 4 years drafting. Everyone else was a massive swing and a miss. And then it just so happened that everyone else, like the player drafted right after them, happened to be really good. Christian Gonzalez with Forbes. The Chiefs guard, who Ron Rivera traded up in front of the Chiefs to draft a freaking long snapper as if this guy was Bill Belichick. All of a sudden, that Chiefs guard has now been like a perennial Pro Bowler who just got a long-term deal. Like, it's insane the amount of swings and misses. You could have drafted Kyle Hamilton. You draft Jahan Dotson instead. I saw something, Max, today about, like, Jahan Dotson feeling betrayed when he was traded from the Commanders. I don't know if that was from this year or from last year.
It was from recently. They kind of twisted it a little bit. I can pull up the audio if you want.
I would actually like to hear this, please, because I saw it. I saw the Twitter like headline, if you will, about it, but I was busy and I was like, do I want to talk about Jahan today?
I mean,
the
most inflammatory stuff is the Twitter headline, because what he really says isn't all that kind of crazy. That's not okay. That's not what I wanted. That's an ad that's being played off of something else, a different tab.
Not easy though, I can tell you that.
No, it's not. It's not easy.
Because Jahan Dotson did next to nothing last year in Philadelphia.
I'd say not next to, that's for sure. But here's what he said.
You know, me, AJ, and Smitty, and me and AJ were talking about just being traded and how tough of a feeling that is. It kind of feels like you're being betrayed a little bit. But, you know, it's the next man up. It's on to the next different opportunity for you. And you gotta take it with that approach. You know, you can't frown upon it. You can't look down upon it. You got to attack it and make the most of your opportunity. You never know what's going to happen in this league. It's a business at the end of the day, and we all know that. But it is tough. But, you know, you got to move on to the next. And I feel like that's just life in itself. You know, something knocks you down, you look at the next obstacle in front of you and attack it. Dive into that playbook.
All right. A great message, you know, from Jahan Dotson. We will attack our obstacles. I have a very passionate feeling here, Max. The feeling of when A.J. Brown was traded versus when Jahan Dotson was traded were very different.
Probably much different.
A.J. Brown got traded and then immediately got a 4-year, $100 million contract. And then Jahan Dotson got traded and had 19 catches in 17 games. Very, very different. I mean, the guy had 216 yards and no touchdowns. Like, he just was not a factor in that offense. I understand the human element of getting traded, and it sucks. That totally get it. On board 100%. But that, like, if Adam Peters can move that guy for a third, and then he goes and has 216 yards, he can get something for Brian Robinson. And there's so many people that are kind of like teeter-tottering on Adam Peters because of the whole Terry situation. I am not. Like, regardless of what happens with Terry, I want him here. I want him to be here, right? Regardless of what happens there, I'm still trusting Adam Peters. He got the most important thing right. He got the quarterback right. And if your argument is, well, all he did was get the quarterback thing right, there's like seven, eight dudes that have been here in the last 30 years that couldn't.
And he's doing the
and
best
he did.
He's doing the best he can given the circumstance. It's kind of tough negotiating with a side that's very dug in. While you yourself are dug in, but the Commanders have been
and
very
on top of that, you took over this organization that went like 0-28 in their draft picks because Ron sucked. So you don't have the benefit of like, oh, this guy's on a rookie deal for a long. You cut all them dudes because all them dudes were not very good. And you like, I can only imagine when Adam Peters walked out to practice the first day and you saw like Emmanuel Forbes. And you're just like,
That pause at that initial presser is like, we got a lot of work to do. A
lot of work to do. If he can get something for Jahan Dotson, he can get something for Brian Robinson. I know y'all don't like Brian Robinson. He can get something for Brian Robinson. And it's more than just a bag of chips or more than like a Ben's Chili Bowl half smoke, although I'd love one of those right now. He can get something for Brian Robinson. I'm expecting him to get something for Brian Robinson. Dan Quinn is going to talk in 12 minutes here. You will hear that presser in its entirety on the Team 980. Coming up next, where is Jaden Daniels going to fall in the NFL top 100 list? Well, he's at least top 20. That's next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dende sitting in.
Might have to get Amelia Draper on the phone. Figure out if it's going to warm up in Ashburn today in this tent.
76.
Power came on and all the fans were on, and me and B were like, we don't need those fans today.
Not today.
No, not today. That's what that bunker did to me on 16 at Navy. Straight up Dikembe. I swear that thing jumped up out of nowhere. Today's the last official day of training camp. And so it got me thinking, maybe we give out some training camp awards. Let me be clear. Training camp awards have no monetary or societal value.
Yeah, I thought you said you were going to give everybody $1,000 that you choose.
Nah, I did not say that. Just to be crystal clear, I did not say that. But I want to run through kind of what I've thought, and then B, and Jeff's been out here enough. I'm curious his thoughts. There's a lot of kind of different categories. But the dude that has impressed me most, that I didn't know what we'd get, Debo's been phenomenal. Yeah. I thought Debo has looked great. Like just an all effort guy. Mm-hmm. Any conversation about his weight, and his weight was a factor last year. He said it. He got sick. I think it really screwed up his season. He seems focused, driven. He's going into a contract year. Like, I think Debo and Cliff Kingsbury's offense, like, there is a lot to like there.
Mm-hmm.
I have just been super impressed by Debo. You want me to keep going with my list, or do you want to?
You're right.
All right. My best rookie in camp, I know a lot of folks are going to want to say Bill, and Bill's been good. And I think Connerly over the last 2-3 weeks has been really good.
Yep.
But the dude that showed up, and Lane has been really good. Now, Lane is starting to show more and more offensively now, right? But the dude that showed up day one, clearly an NFL player, was Trey Amos.
2-3, baby.
Dude, like, just day one, that's a starting outside corner in the
NFL.
He's
ready to rock.
And I'm not knocking anybody else, but, like, he's been fantastic. I hate that he didn't get to play against the Bengals,
mm-hmm.
but he was out there yesterday. Assuming he's going today in what we expect to be a relatively high energy practice, I'm excited to see that because you hate to hear the word hamstring.
I hope high energy practice is going to be like it because I don't know what's going on in the bubble.
It is
right
interesting.
Now.
There's something going on.
There's high energy going on already.
It's loud in that bubble.
Damn.
Best free agent addition, you could take this a zillion different ways
mm-hmm.
because I think Kinlaw's look good. I think there have been various players that have looked good that were free agent additions. But I think Dietrich Wise has looked really good. He's got that veteran presence to him. He made the play against Burrow.
You watch him walking around, you go, okay, who is this dude? He go on the football field. Dude plays football.
He's got a funny gait.
Yeah, he walks like Lurch. I'm not talking about Lurch on the Jungle. I'm talking about Lurch, the Lurch you saw on TV.
Right.
You rang that guy. That's how he walks.
I like when you do the Lurch impression.
I'm being real. But I saw him walking, and I'm like, who the hell is this kid, this dude here? And oh, that's Wise. And he got on the football field. Dude moves on the field. He's strong as hell, too.
Totally.
Yeah.
Now, my – apparently, Jeff's cousin said this first, so we'll credit him just in case he's listening. I've been saying this for some time, but you never know. In the content game is a dirty business, right? I've thought Kwon has been great. Mm-hmm. I thought he was really good in the playoff run last year, playing with hurt
he's
shoulders.
Outstanding.
I think actually making the Pro Bowl is usually a year after you play at a Pro Bowl level.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kwon could really break out this year. They have so many primetime games, so
does
many opportunities.
If you're talking to Kwon's dad, and you mentioned that if he keeps playing like this, he could be in a Pro Bowl. Because I want to know if I got to give somebody credit, because I told Twan Dez this last year. So if I got to
maybe give credit, Jeff's cousin has to credit you.
If I got to get credit to somebody, you know, let me know, because I don't know how the content game works, because I can't stand the goddamn content game, because it's always about the game instead of the actual game.
Right.
So I don't know. Should I have to say something?
I don't. It's up to you.
I know I was talking to Quan's dad when he called me on my phone, so we were talking together. So I don't know if somebody was listening and went out and started saying stuff, though. So, you got to give credit to people.
Shout out to Jeff's cousin. And then I don't know what this category is. I have said this throughout camp. Mm-hmm. Like, when I would go do an interview for another show or something, people are always like, oh, who's catching your eye during camp? And there are players. Amos, Bill, Jalen Lane.
Who's catching your eye?
People are catching my eye. Lots of places. But there's one dude where your entire being gravitates towards. There's one dude with an undeniable gravitational pull, and it's Jaden Daniels.
Totally.
So, like, I just wrote best Jaden. That's the category I got. Like, I think you and I might have different answers for most impressive, best rookie, all the other things, but you have a different answer for best.
No. No, like, not at all.
He is the dude, and it's just
that dude.
So clear he is the dude.
Yeah.
And I find that when you've got a dude like that, different ball game, man. Different ball game. All right, B. So we'll go through the superlatives. We're going to open the phone lines up. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. I know a lot of fans were out here for a whole bunch of practices. Obviously, people have opinions on best rookie, who's a Pro Bowler this season that hasn't maybe had that level of shine on them. But, Brian Mitchell, for you, who has been most impressive during training camp?
Most impressive?
This is not – best is its own category.
Best is its own. Okay, most impressive.
And I kind of think, like, maybe a dude you didn't know what to think going in.
I'm being honest with you. The most impressive I've seen during training camp has been Jalen Lane for me, because he came in as a guy that I say, okay, he's going to be the return guy, but every day he was making a play deep. You know, and what I like seeing about that is a young guy who comes in with, and you have a notion of we're going to use him here. He basically said, no, you have to try me somewhere else too. And he began to make those plays, and then you start seeing him getting in more opportunities. Other people are expecting him to play too. So I normally put that to like a little rookie, you know. Go with
So you're giving him most impressive and best rookie?
No, I'm going to give him most impressive because the big plays I wasn't expecting those. I expected the return aspect, but I didn't expect the offensive stuff. So I'll give him that. The best rookie I'm going to go with my man Trey.
Okay, Amos also he's been fantastic, and that's not taking anything away. Clearly,
that's not taking anything away. But listen, and we don't have to put that caveat.
Yeah,
you got a right to give somebody else best without. You're not necessarily knocking
right.
The other person.
Totally.
If people don't understand that, that's their damn problem.
Totally. Who is your best free agent addition? It's tricky because, like...
It is, but I've been watching Jones and Harris, both, and I can see why they went to get both of those guys.
Just vets.
They may not be, like, the jump off the page, but they don't make mistakes. You know, they remind me of people like, I'm going to name two names, and it's going to be old school fans of the team will have to remember these. Ron Middleton and Terry Orr.
Touchdown Terry Orr.
When you saw them on the football field, you saw them walking to the field, you're like, who is this? But when they got on the field, you never said, oh, man, look at that. But you never, ever said, damn, he blew that play. You get what I'm saying? They always did what they were supposed to do. And if you always do what you're supposed to do consistently, you may not be the greatest, but you damn sure are one that's needed. And I've looked at both of those guys in that way, so I like both of them.
Okay, I like that. 2025 Pro Bowler.
2025 Pro Bowler. Other than Jaden?
Jaden's already in the best category.
Other than Jaden? Oh, man. 2025 Pro Bowler. I'm going to go in a spot you probably wouldn't even suspect it.
Okay.
Coleman.
Ooh, Brandon Coleman. He was back out there yesterday.
At guard.
Now it was a walkthrough.
Because I believe his athleticism is going to help him more down there at guard than it did outside.
I like that. I like that. And best?
The best we already
five.
Said. I mean, you can't go – you can't – if anybody else has someone that's best other than him,
you're nuts.
They need to go get they need to go pee in a cup and get to test it to see what's going on.
All right. Our guy Jeff Walker was out here a lot, made a lot of good content.
Jeff did a good job.
Jeff,
man.
You did a good job at camp this year. So we're gonna let you answer all the questions and then we're gonna open the phone lines up for folks that want to weigh in. Jeffrey, who was your most impressive?
I got to agree with you on the Debo thing, JP, for most impressive. A lot of things, when I came out there, I was like, okay, let's see if Debo got as big as everyone said he was. No, the way he moved, the way he catched the ball, the routes he's been running, and how he's just been building that chemistry with Jaden, I love it. Best rookie? I got to go with Jalen Lane, man. I like the flashes I've been seeing from him as well, especially with that catch he made in the game last weekend. I mean, last Monday. Best free agent. I just got to say Von Miller. I'm going to take Von. I just like the way he moved. I think he's going to be a problem this year.
That's a good one.
2025 Pro Bowler. I'm going to say Laremy Tunsil. I like the way Laremy is looking at that left tackle position. All the people that said he wasn't a leader and all this stuff when he was in Houston, I've seen the complete opposite of that in Washington. Best, of course, is JD5, man. It seems like he is not taking a step back at all.
Yo, he's taking a step forward.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the conversation around – like, oh, you know, I'm not sure he can. Like, people are so convinced on regression and, like, the fourth downs won't be the same. I just don't feel it that way. I don't see it that way. I think he's one of the best players in the NFL.
Oh.
Jaden.
You don't have to think. what you the drop think now. That's already been proven. Didn't they just name the top 100?
Dude, they haven't named him yet, and they're up to, like, 23, I think.
They haven't named him yet?
No.
He's probably top 10.
Right.
So we already know he is.
We know he's at least top 23.
If other people on our team have already been named, and he hasn't been, you know he's coming to top 10. So, yes, he is one of the best in the league. I'm not going to say think. I know.
Good call, Jeff, on Tunsil being a Pro Bowler, because
– But see, the thing of it – and I think Jeff hit it like we normally do. We normally go with someone that hasn't been to the Pro Bowl yet. This dude's been to the Pro Bowl.
Right.
But, hell, the fact that you question him and he's going to be able to go back to the Pro Bowl says a lot.
And the Von Miller one is a really good one, too. Von Miller is somebody that's been
everywhere.
Everywhere. And we haven't seen him in games, but he looks good. He looks quite good in practice. And I think Von Miller's the kind of guy we'll know when we see it. You know what I'm saying? Like that's who he is. Want to hit up these phones, 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Who do you think wins your training camp superlatives? All right? Best rookie, best free agent fit, best most impressive, just overall best. Who has been the best? You don't have to have been here. You guys have all been watching clips. You've been reading. You've been listening to us. Listen to Grant. Listen to the Junks. Like, whatever your opinions are, this is your chance. Training camp's over today, dude. We think we're going to see an awesome practice later, but it sure as hell sounds like they're having a practice right now, so I don't know what we're going to see later. And while I've got you, be sure you listen to 1245. Commander's head coach Dan Quinn is going to join us.
Yeah.
Could we ask DQ who's impressed him most during camp?
Hell yeah.
I'd be really curious his answer.
I mean, all right, over under, three or four people. 4.5.
Yeah, dude.
Over under.
There's going to be some names. You know a dude that's really impressed me? Andrew Wiley.
Yes. moving around, doing all the stuff. Listen, man.
Just a pro.
Like Ray Brown would always say that. He never said he's a professional. He always said, man, now that dude's a pro. This dude right here has a – it's possible he's going to be backing up.
Okay?
He's going to be a backup this year instead of a starter.
He may start off
as a starter. But all he's done was play every position they asked him to get. And I think DQ discussed this yesterday about him. He's done everything they asked him to do, and at a high level. Didn't complain about it at all. Just kept moving forward.
Dude, I don't know. I'm guessing with the delay, this dude hasn't heard this yet.
Who?
I just got a tweet from CDub1906. He said, can I submit my vote for Andrew Wiley as most impressive?
Wow.
Dude catches so much heat, but he's been balling, playing multiple positions this camp. He's going to be so valuable.
What's his name, season. Andrew?
C-Dub, Curtis.
I'll trust him to see if his name was Andrew Wiley.
Yeah, I think he's in the bubble. Whatever's going on in there, I think Wiley's busy.
Now, Wiley's been playing, man.
All right, your chance to weigh in training camp superlatives. Our guy Rusty in Delaware is on the line. Rusty, what do you got?
Good morning, boys. How you doing today?
We're great,
doing,
bro.
Man? What's happening?
Hey, so my most impressive, I was only at camp one day, but my most impressive was Zach Ertz. I mean, what is this, his 11th training camp?
He's looked good.
To just show up every single day. And we were there. We had an end zone view when we were there. And just to watch him run his routes and, you know, take the ball all the way to the end zone, some of the catches he was making across the middle. I mean, what is Zach, 33, 34? He doesn't look like it.
Dude, his ability to get off the line of scrimmage, I watched him closely last year. If people remember, when people would ask me for a fantasy sleeper, I said Ertz, and he went on to have a really good year. He looks quicker this year, and I'm not exaggerating. He looks quicker off the line of scrimmage this year. Good call, Rusty. Thanks, buddy. Be safe down there with that hurricane. Lines are open, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Good idea from Jeff. Who's your sleeper coming out of training camp? We're taking your calls next on The Fan.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. On Tuesday, August 26th, is FanDuel Futures Day, a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on all your football season predictions. So take a flyer on the MVP race, or who you think is going to be the champion of the NFL when the season comes to an end, or you can parlay your division winner dark horses. Listen, I've been naming it all week. Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, and I even threw my man Jaden Daniels into it. And whoever you're going to pick to win the Super Bowl, many people think it's going to be the Baltimore Ravens. But I think still they have to go through the Kansas City Chiefs on that side. We got the Eagles. They still have a lot of people. Will they be able to do what they did last year again this year? Will somebody else jump up and get them? Mainly could be the Commanders. Mark your calendars. This is your day for your hunches, your hot takes, your calls, and your odds. So visit the FanDuel app today and start planning your futures bets now. Because Futures Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.